half. On the one hand, you look at the promises of God and they're amazing. But on the other, you look at the reality of your own life and you think, how could they ever happen for me? Hi, I'm Bernie Dimet, and welcome again to the program as today we take a look at the promises of God from a different perspective. Have you ever struggled to believe in the promises that people make, even the promises that God makes? In fact, in particular, the promises that God makes. Over the last few days, we've been looking at the human impossibility of the promises that God made to Abraham, the father of the nation of Israel. And today, we're going to take another step along Abraham's journey because he too struggled to believe God's promises. But you know something? God has this amazing way of leading people like Abraham and you and me through a journey. A journey that we struggle on sometimes, but a journey where ultimately we can believe in God's promises. Because if we can't believe them, we can never take a hold of them. It's a God thing. It's what faith is all about. First he calls us to believe, and then he takes us on a journey through his promises, through the promised land. I'm always so incredibly touched by the story of how God reached out to Abraham. Sure, it's a story about Abraham, but, you know, he's not some Mr. Perfecto super Christian. Abraham is human and frail, and he struggled to believe the outrageous promises of God. He was torn. God gently and tenderly led him to believe in the promised land. You see, Abraham was 70-something. He had no children. He's living in comfort in this place called Ur. And God comes to him and says, leave all of that. Go to a land that I'm going to give you, and I'm going to make you a mighty nation. You're going to have more children than the stars in the sky. You're going to have more descendants than the grains of dust on the earth. If we put ourselves in Abraham's shoes for just a minute, this old man, well, wouldn't we struggle to? We're going to be looking at, soon on the program, what it means to cross over into the promised land and the battles involved in taking the promised land and why God does that. I mean, the promised land, flowing with milk and honey, wouldn't you think you'd just kind of arrive and it'd be like a summer resort with a swimming pool and a bellhop to carry your bags up to your suite? Well, we'll look at that a little bit later, but over the next few minutes, well, it's time for you and me to consider this promised land and whether we believe it. Faith is the key to the promise. Faith is the gift that God gives us to unlock the promise. And the reason that you and I are together today, no doubt, is that God wants to unlock his promises in our hearts as he breathes his spirit and his faith into us through his word. See, Israel fled Egypt because they were oppressed as slaves, and they passed through the Red Sea, and they began this 40-year exodus in the desert. You know how many of the Israelites that crossed through the Red Sea at the beginning of the exodus crossed through the Jordan into the Promised Land 40 years later? Out of the hundreds and thousands and probably millions, how many? Just two, Joshua and Caleb. Those men believed in God's promises. What happened to the rest of them? Well, Psalm 106 tells us exactly what happened. They forgot the God who saved them, who had done great things in Egypt, miracles in the land of Ham, and the awesome deeds by the Red Sea. So God said he would destroy them had not Moses, his chosen one, stood in the breach before them to keep the wrath of God from destroying them. Then the Israelites despised the pleasant land. They did not believe God's promise. They grumbled in their tents. They didn't obey the Lord. So he swore to them with uplifted hand that he would make them fall in the desert. That's why today's program is so important. See, you and I, like Abraham, we have circumstances in our lives. We look around and it's really hard to believe that God's promises could come true. Maybe we even have a grumble about God and his promises. That grumbling, that unbelief, is going to keep us out of his promised land. People sometimes say, well, Bernie, you talk about this promised land. It's obvious what it meant to the Israelites back then, but what does it mean to you and me here and now? Well, as we go from the Old Testament to the New Testament, there's a transition from the physical land to the spiritual one. Something that people struggled with when Jesus talked about the kingdom of God was that they thought that Jesus had come to kick the Roman occupiers out of the promised land. But he was talking about something entirely different. There are so many passages we could go through in the New Testament, but a couple that really explain the promised land that God has given us through Jesus, his son, well, let's have a look at them. The first one is in Luke chapter 17, beginning at verse 20. Once, having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The kingdom of God doesn't come with your careful observation, nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is within you." The promised land that Jesus talked about is not something out there. It's not a new house or a new car or all that stuff. The promised land is the kingdom of God, the rule and the reign and the lordship of God in our hearts. Again, Jesus explained it this way. He said in Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy he went and sold all that he had and bought that field." And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant who went looking for fine pearls, and when he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had, and he bought it. The promised land is like a treasure. It's a treasure in our hearts. It's our relationship with God through Jesus Christ, our Dad in heaven. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. In John chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus said, "If anyone loves me, they will obey my teaching, and my Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with them." See, plenty of people want to believe in Jesus for their eternal life. Jesus died for my sin, therefore I'm forgiven, therefore I have eternal life. And then what they do with that is they take it and they file it in their filing cabinets under insurance policy and then live a miserable life. Jesus promised a lot of things, a rich, abundant life, as well as trials and persecution. He didn't promise us it would be easy to follow after him. What he did promise is that the relationship that we have with him would fill us to overflowing with abundant joy and peace. See, that's where the promised land is today. In our hearts, in our relationship with him, in the abundant life that he promises. Let me take you back to that starry night where God took Abraham out of the tent to look up at the Milky Way and to see all the stars, and he made him a promise of land and of descendants. See, God led Abraham tenderly to that point and wrote his promise on Abraham's heart, a promise that Abraham believed against all odds, a promise that God delivered on against all the odds. You and I are each under our own patch of starry heaven today. And the Lord is whispering of his promised land in our hearts, a land purchased by Jesus on that cross, a land of blessing that goes on forever. The Spirit of God will write that on our hearts if we let him. He'll give us the faith to believe if we'll ask him. Is today that day? God makes some powerful promises in his word, the Bible. Promises that he means for you and me to live in. Problem is, so many people who believe in Jesus struggle to lay hold of his promises, especially on those dark days that we all seem to travel through. That's why I'd love to send you a free copy of our latest life application booklet. It's called It's Time to Take the Promised Land, and it's full of life-changing, practical Bible teaching to help you actually live in the promises of God day by day. In fact, at the end of each chapter, you'll find some life application questions to help you think through and apply God's promises right into the realities of your life. To request your free copy, stop by our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com, and you'll see that offer right there toward the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. Again, that web address is ChristianityWorks.com. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again same time tomorrow with a different perspective.